In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this 21st Sunday after the Feast of Holy Trinity. The Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This, again, is the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Thus far, the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus performs seven great miracles that are recorded in the Gospel according to St. John. This Gospel is therefore nicknamed the Book of the Seven Signs, because by means of these seven great miracles, Jesus reveals to the world that he is the Savior. The first of these signs was the turning of water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Now he has returned to this same region where a nobleman has a son who is sick and at the point of death. The nobleman comes to Jesus and implores him to come down and heal his son. And then and there, Jesus discerns and states what this man's problem is, what the people's problem is, and what our problem can be. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. How strong is your faith this morning? Is it strong enough? Can you be trusting Jesus hard enough for a miracle to get it out of him? That's how some people think of this. And you know, there's at least one that I'd like to have happen. But imagine for a moment that we believed, that I personally believed, the false doctrine taught in so many churches that if you'll just ask for that miracle in true and sincere faith, it'll happen for you. Well then, when I prayed my heart out that the Lord would work healing in the life of one dear to me, what happens if this worldly healing doesn't happen? Well, now, not only am I disappointed that I didn't get what I was asking for, but now I have to wonder if my faith is real and sincere. I mean, if the prayer of true faith brings the miracle, and I didn't get the miracle, the only logical conclusion must be that I don't really have faith. So this false doctrine, instead of encouraging the faith that it demands, this false doctrine actually ends up destroying it. So Jesus would deliver both the nobleman and us from being all caught up in signs and miracles. For many of us moderns, we latch on more to empirical evidence and scientific proof than we do signs and wonders. But the point of commonality is that we don't want to just trust the word of the Lord. Some way, somehow, we want verification that Jesus really will deliver. Maybe if he'd actually, physically, visibly come with us back to our place and personally address whatever the issue may be. So Jesus diagnoses the problem. And in the face of Jesus doing so, the nobleman simply repeats his prayer. Sir, come down before my child dies. Most of you know something about this, people with children especially. When our children, or for that matter, any of our loved ones hurt, we hurt. And our prayers to God are much absorbed with petitions for God's healing deliverance. Through it all, thank God that he has blessed us with the true faith. Thank God that we don't ever have to sit there thinking that whether one of our children lives or dies, or gets better or doesn't, this all somehow depends on how strong my faith is. It does not. It depends only on the will of our gracious Lord. And whatever decision he makes, there will be a loving, gracious reason for it. No, our faith can't manipulate Jesus into doing a miracle. It's not a question of how strong my faith is. The point is, faith doesn't try to manipulate the Lord. Alas, my faith is still far less than what it ought to be. The nobleman's faith wasn't what it should have been. Israel's faith wasn't what it should have been. And your faith, your faith. Well, you have your moments of doubt. You have your moments of trusting more in how you think things should go than in humbly trusting the wisdom of the Lord. When it comes to faith, we all have chinks in our armor. And in the face of that painful truth, notice two things about what Jesus did. First, notice that He was gracious anyway. He did the miracle anyway. He provided the gift that was prayerfully sought. The fever broke. The son lived. How often does it happen that we doubt what the Lord can or will do, but the Lord graciously forgives and ignores our doubting and proceeds to give us His good gifts anyway? Thanks be to God, when it comes to God's grace and our salvation, nothing depends on us. It is all Christ's doing. And as we are in Him, we can breathe easy and not live in abject terror about our own shortcomings of faith and how this may negatively impact our Lord's response to whatever it is we pray for. Second, notice how Jesus did it. Not just once, but twice, we hear the nobleman beseeching Jesus to come down. Come down before my child dies. Jesus responds by giving this nobleman the gift of His word. Go your way. Your son lives. Jesus did not come down with him. Instead, Jesus invites the man and us and everybody to put our faith in His word. And a little like another sermon that I preached to you here a couple of weeks ago, we might well notice that the healing of the son is actually the lesser miracle in this text. For it says that when Jesus spoke these words, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. Go your way, your son lives. Why should you believe that? What reason does he have in terms of signs or wonders or concrete evidence or any of that? There is none of that. What there is Jesus' word. And Jesus' word is a powerful, living, active word. Our words, my words, only have the ability to describe what is. Jesus' words, because He is God, Jesus' word has the power to speak into existence what isn't yet. Jesus' words entrust the nobleman with faith, but His words have the power to create the very faith that they name and demand. This is the greater miracle. Not just the healing of the son, but that the man comes to true faith. I say it's the greater miracle because this is a miracle unto everlasting life. I know some of the prayers. Some of you have prayed, some recently, some longer ago, that God would spare the life of someone you loved. And you know the prayers that I'm praying right now. Sometimes our Lord gives us just what we prayed for. And sometimes His mercies take matters in a different direction. And so too with the nobleman whose son was healed. How thankful he must have been. But news flash, that nobleman is long since dead. And so is his son, the one that was healed. We will all die someday. And so will all our brothers and children and aunts and uncles and spouses and cousins and friends and everyone else for whom we pray. Maybe the Lord will grant them to live a while longer. And maybe not. But even if in His mercy it is delayed, sooner or later, death comes. But faith? Well, faith is unto eternal life. And by means of the word of the Lord, not only did this nobleman believe, but so did his whole household. We will see these people in heaven someday. And that's far more important, really, than how many days he got, or his son got, or we will get in this world. Dear ones in Christ, the antidote that the Lord gives to your weakness in faith is His Word. Not so much signs and wonders, though on occasion He validated His Word with those two. Not empirical data, though we have record of many witnesses of our Lord's resurrection, the real rock and anchor for your faith is His Word. So hear it, believe it, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, as one of our old prayers used to say. For it is the Word of the Lord alone that delivers to you the good news that you must hear and to which you cling for your salvation. What exactly is that saving word? To get at that, I'd point out to you that there are two sons in this morning's text. One is the son of the nobleman, sinful and deserving of the death that is the wages of sin. But he received life instead. And not just an extension of temporal life, but as part of that believing household, he received eternal life as well. The other son is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God the Son himself. And while our text does not mention it this morning, we know how the rest of the gospel according to St. John goes. The sinless and life-deserving Son of God receives death instead. And not just temporal death, but the spiritual damnation death of being forsaken by God the Father as well. He died our death so that we may live his life. Believe what God has given us in Christ. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As you treasure these things, cling with all your might to the Word of God, taught in its truth and purity, and cling to the sacraments administered according to Christ's institution, which is to say, according to His Word. Do not seek after signs and wonders. Do not look for verification from scientific evidence and empirical data. Do not even bolster or weaken your confidence by looking at your own attendance record or giving record or anybody else's. How many times you do devotions in 1 week, though I pray that it's every day? How many others? And how many dollars? And how long a list of miracles? And how much evidence I can pile up? None of that is the issue. What is of the Lord is the issue. And our gracious Lord has given us His pure Word and rightly administered sacraments that we may have eternal life through them. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. In Christ, you have already been raised to newness of life and will be bodily raised on the last day. In Christ, heaven is yours. So relax and let go of the notion that faith is a work you do and that you have to do that work good enough. It isn't. Faith is the work of the Holy Spirit within you. And the Holy Spirit does it perfectly. Even if the faith He works in you also exists side by side with lots of doubts and worry, which by the same Spirit we repent of. And for the sake of Christ's death and resurrection, we are also completely forgiven of. Thus set free, dear ones in Christ, rejoice in what God the Father has graciously given to you. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And rejoice that He will continue to give you these things. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.